Hello, Dave Emery here. This is Side 2 of For the Record program number 753, Overview on Snowden's Ride, the Operation of Eddie the Friendly Spook. This program is being recorded on August 18th of the year 2013. We're going to plunge right in because we have a lot of material to cover. Again, I have already written the equivalent of a small book about Eddie the Friendly Spook and this operation. Go to the SpitfireList.com website to bring up the news and supplemental category, and I have 19 posts. So, time permitting, I may read just the titles of those posts at the end of the program. Suffice it to say that the way that this is being represented is the opposite from the way it really is. This is a big lie. It is a psyop, and we're going to talk about that right now. First of all, Eddie Snowden is a spook, okay? He is an intelligence officer, CIA, NSA, Booz Allen Hamilton. He is basically a spy, and spy rhymes with lie. Don't forget it. Now, another aspect of this whole case, and this is critical in terms of understanding this, the vast bulk of this information, there have been a few details like particular things about the keynote program or about the name of the PRISM software that had not been known, but the vast bulk of this has been on the public record for a long time, and in particular, in the latter part of the last century, the early part of this one, there was a major international controversy over the Echelon / Men with Hill, NSA GCHQ, electronic intelligence gathering. In particular, there was a big flap in Europe raised by the EU on September 6, 2001. And when we delve into the analysis at greater length, September 11th looms very large in the background of this entire thing. When we delve into this, there was a European parliamentary report that was published on September 6th, 2001, right before the September 11th attacks, which disclosed that many European countries did the same thing. In particular, Germany does the same thing. They also have collaborated with NSA, BND, the German intelligence service, and the successor organization to the Galen spy outfit has ramped up its internet surveillance in connection with this. France does the same thing, and I would note that the European Union supposedly in response or because of the disclosures, unquote, of Edward Snowden, is setting up what critics have termed its own NSA involving, surprise, surprise, internet surveillance, the use of drones, its own independent security structure. And this is so interesting because this information has been on the public record for years. I've been talking about it for the better part of two decades. Certainly, the world doesn't revolve around Dave Emery, but when the European Parliament can publish a report and when there can be a major international political controversy, which it was in the late, at the end of the 20th and beginning of the 21st century, then I think we can say this: we are shocked to learn that there's gambling going on in this establishment. We're going to talk about Eddie the Friendly Spook's activities as sort of a U2 incident 2, which it is in some ways. One of the most interesting comments on this whole thing came from President Putin of Russia, and he observed about the Snowden controversy. He observed it was like shearing a piglet. There's a great deal of squealing, but no wool, which I think is, in terms of the way the media have been dealing with this, they're trying to shear the piglet. Now, again, this is a psyop. This information has been on the public record for a long time, the vast bulk of it anyway. So when we're seeing this becoming this huge political, intellectual, and media football, this is a psyop. And Eddie Snowden is a spook. He's a spy, and spy rhymes with lie. Now, again, Eddie the Friendly Spook has been described as a whistleblower. He's no whistleblower. A whistleblower would have gone to his superiors first. Eddie Snowden went to the media first. And beyond that, his activities are more than a little interesting. He was working in Hawaii. He infiltrated Booz Allen Hamilton with the specific intention of downloading information and then leaking it. By the way, as I discussed this is leaving aside any judgment about the wisdom of some of the things that took place. For example, U.S. intelligence hacking Chinese computer banks or China hacking our computer banks, this sort of thing is done. Very quickly, answer this question for me. When the anonymous people or WikiLeaks or somebody else, when they hack a computer database, when they do their hacking, what court approves that, please? Think about that. And by the way, WikiLeaks is partnering with the Russian phishing mafia. Those are the folks that will get hold of your internet information and enter your bank account and max out your credit cards while you're sleeping. So, for those of you who are WikiLeaks freaks, so to speak, you think about that one. But now, think about Snowden's rod as U2 too. When most of the stations hear this program, they will have heard, for the record, 752, which is a reprise of the U2 incident from the Guns of November, Part 1, recorded on November 1st of 1983. The downing of Francis Gary Power's U2 plane in 1960, just before, it might have been late 59, but just before a summit conference that was going to be held with then President Dwight Eisenhower and then Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev, who were looking to thaw the Cold War, so to speak, to begin detente. The U-2 plane was deliberately, U-2 flight was dispatched against President Eisenhower's orders. It was apparently sabotaged to permit it to be shot down. It was forced to fly at a lower altitude, and Francis Gary Powers had all of his CIA identification on him at the time, in complete contravention of standard sanitization procedures under such operations. And then when he was captured, that was basically used by, it sabotaged the upcoming summit conference between Khrushchev and Eisenhower. And the available evidence suggests very strongly that it was CIA, as Fletcher Prouty put it, or some element of U.S. and Western intelligence that deliberately sabotaged the U-2. By the way, Francis Gary Powers and others have blamed the sabotaging, the downing of the U-2 on, of all people, Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, consider the first part of Snowden's ride as a U-2 incident, too. One of the levels of this PSYOP is the destabilization of Obama's administration and the Democratic Party in general. Just before Obama is going to meet with Chinese President Xi to discuss a number of things, Eddie Snowden decamps to Hong Kong in China, disclosing information about U.S. hacking operations against China, thereby not only damaging U.S.-Chinese relations, but also damaging U.S. foreign policy and any attempts by Barack Obama to achieve a more balanced relationship with China. China is not exactly renowned as a bastion of civil liberties, freedom of expression, or internet freedom, is it? Snowden's actions make no sense in terms of, you know, some wonderful, altruistic friend of humanity who wants to disclose information about violations of privacy. It only makes sense in terms of the destabilization of Obama and American foreign policy. Then, just before Obama is going to meet with Angela Merkel of Germany, The Guardian, we're going to talk about Glenn Greenwald. You talk about somebody who is the opposite of what he's represented as being. We're going to talk about Citizen Greenwald later on and at great length in future programs. But The Guardian publishes information about the NSA spying on Germany and the fact that the NSA considers Germany to be a third-class partner. There, by the way, are plenty of reasons for the NSA to be spying on Germany. We'll go into those in a future program at some length. But again, just before Obama's going to meet with President Xi of China, Eddie Snowden goes to Hong Kong in China, that great bastion of civil liberties, freedom of expression, and internet freedom, disclosing damaging information about U.S. hacking operations against China, thereby making it rough for Obama at his meeting with President Xi and damaging U.S.-Chinese relations. Just before Obama is going to meet with Angela Merkel, disclosures courtesy of Snowden come out in the Guardian newspaper about U.S. spying on Germany, thereby damaging U.S. relations not only with Germany but with the entire EU. That has now become a major political football in the German campaign, which is Angela Merkel is campaigning for re-election. And as we will note, we'll touch on briefly later in this program, it also has been used as an excuse for the BND to ramp up its own spying. It is going to damage U.S. internet business in all probability very seriously. All over the EU and Germany in particular, they're talking about developing their own internet technology to compete with U.S. technology because of Snowden's disclosures. And then, however, talking about Snowden's ride as YouTube too, one of the things Obama has placed on the front burner in terms of foreign policy is what he called a reboot with Russia, a reboot of relationships. It's the U.S. relationship with Russia. Just after Obama has met with President Putin and in the run-up to the G20 conference in Moscow and in the run-up to a proposed summit conference between President Obama and President Putin, Eddie Snowden decamps from China to Russia. He decamps courtesy of WikiLeaks, or with the assistance of WikiLeaks, among others. He decamps to Russia, to Moscow, another country that is renowned as a bastion of civil liberties, freedom of expression, and internet freedom in particular. As a direct result of Snowden's ride, Obama's summit conference with Putin is canceled just as Eisenhower's summit conference with Khrushchev was canceled as a result of the downing of the U-2, which was a black intelligence operation, what's called a black op, by elements of U.S. intelligence, probably CIA, perhaps with an assistance from BND. So at one level, what we're looking at in terms of Snowden's ride is U-2-2, the destabilization of the Obama administration. This Snowden's disclosures have also caused Obama a lot of friction with the media. They also, in my opinion, are intended to distance more younger and more idealistic voters from the Obama campaign. It may also lead to the drying up of high-tech money for the Obama campaign because Obama has defended much of the spying that has taken place, and that may also cause problems with the high-tech community, very lucrative contributors to presidential campaigns. I would note that Obama's approval ratings in California have declined. I would also note that Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, is already running for president on the Republican ticket and trying to position himself as sort of a right libertarian, trying to woo younger voters. Among the other goals, I think, of the Snowden operation is doing a lot of damage to, will be doing a lot of damage to the U.S. economy per se. All over Europe and elsewhere in the world, there is active discussion of developing new internet companies to compete with U.S. internet technology, basically to do to the internet what was done to American television and automobile manufacturing. The long-term effects of Snowden's ride for the U.S. economy are likely to be very serious and very negative indeed. There also, by the way, has been a proposal for the UN to govern the internet in much the same fashion that China and Russia have been lobbying for quite some time. Another piece of fallout concerns the fact that a proposed piece of cybersecurity legislation has been seen as a probable casualty of Snowden's ride. And that may ultimately lead to increased vulnerability on the part of the United States to a cyber 911. By the way, I would also note that both Julian Assange and Glenn Greenwald have been, in the past, pushing for sort of a right libertarian third-party candidate for president, sort of a right libertarian Ralph Nader, perhaps, for 2016. I would also note again that supposedly as a result of Snowden's disclosures, the EU is now setting up its own national security agency and military capability, including the use of drones and also, ta-da, internet surveillance. All of this supposedly as a result of Snowden's disclosures, and yet all of this, for all practical purposes, was contained in an EU parliamentary report that was published 12 years ago. That's why, again, this is a psyop. By the way, BND is ramping up its own internet spying operations. Those of you, by the way, who've used T-Mobile or MetroPCS, which was just bought by T-Mobile, T-Mobile is owned by Deutsche Telekom. A controlling interest in that is held by the German government. It is a safe bet if you use T-Mobile and or MetroPCS that your communications, both phone calls and internet communications, are being monitored by BND, the successor organization to the Galen Org. So enjoy. Now, we're low on time, so I'm going to set the dramatis personae, so to speak. All of the elements in this, from Eddie Snowden to Julian Assange and the WikiLeaks folks who are joined at the hip now with Snowden and with Glenn Greenwald, all of them are the opposite of what they have been represented as being. They are far right, in many cases overtly white supremacist slash Nazi. Something of a trace element, I think, could be David Duke. Now, Ron Paul, who has enjoyed a stunning reputation as a, quote, champion of civil liberties, is anything but. Although he's anti-surveillance, he's anti-drone strike, and he's pro-pot. In fact, he is a white supremacist slash Nazi of long standing. I recommend a book by A.J. Weberman called Ron Paul, America's Most Dangerous Nazi. It's not very well written, but it is very well sourced. Making a long story short, Ron Paul, right during his most recent campaign of 2012, was caught by the anonymous folks networking with the Stormfront white supremacist organization. Ron Paul has a long relationship with David Duke. The two of them collaborated in what has been termed the Bio of Pigs invasion of the island of Dominica, conducted by white supremacists and neo-Nazis in 1981. John Connolly and David Duke were unindicted. David Duke was an unindicted conspirator. Both Ron Paul and John Connolly were involved in that. The blogger for Ron Paul's 2012 campaign was a guy named Hunter, who was a former chairman of the League of the South, an overt neo-Confederate organization linked to the milieu implicated in the assassination of Martin Luther King, not surprisingly linked to David Duke. And by the way, Hunter is now a top aide to Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son. Ron Paul had a long relationship with the Liberty Lobby, has espoused views similar to those of the pro-Nazi America First organization, basically said we shouldn't have gotten involved with World War II, and sort of hinted we were on the wrong side. What I have termed the Palestinian Libertarian Organization is all over this case. Ron Paul was Edward Snowden's presidential candidate of choice. He contributed money to Ron Paul's campaign. Most of Ron Paul's super PAC was capitalized by the aforementioned Peter Thiel, the guy who helped to capitalize Facebook, and the guy who thinks we shouldn't have allowed women to vote. By the way, and the guy who said freedom and democracy are no longer compatible. By the way, he opined in that regard in a paper he published with the Cato Institute, which was funded by the Koch brothers. Another person who has done some networking with the Cato Institute is Glenn Greenwald. Now, the Palestinian Libertarian Organization. This is, of course, a dizzying concatenation. I may misspeak myself here at some point. Ron Snowden, by the way, has entered into the fray. Ron Snowden, that's L-O-N, is Eddie Snowden's father. He is hooked up with a lawyer named Bruce Fine. Bruce Fine was apparently introduced to Ron Snowden and is now the lawyer for the whole Snowden family, including Eddie Snowden, by Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son. Bruce Fine was a key legal advisor to Ron Paul during his presidential campaign, during which Ron Paul networked with the Stormfront organization. Bruce Fine was part of Ron Paul's 2008 presidential exploratory run. Bruce Fine also has networked with the Schiller Institute of Lyndon LaRouche. Snowden himself, again, was a supporter of Ron Paul, dubbed by A.J. Weberman as America's most dangerous Nazi. And we will talk at great length about what I call the Palestinian Libertarian Organization in the future. When he was posted to Geneva, Switzerland by the CIA, Eddie Snowden went online and expressed some of his political views. Eddie Snowden thinks that we should A, eliminate Social Security, B, thinks we should go back to the gold standard. This, by the way, is pretty much standard Ron Paul, Rand Paul cant, so to speak. Eddie Snowden also views high unemployment as a necessary part of capitalist correction. Snowden hated Obama. He was a big John McCain man in 2008, then supported Ron Paul in 2012. The point that I'm making here, again, Eddie Snowden was not so naive with an F when he was doing this. This was while he was posted to Geneva, Switzerland, by his employer, the Central Intelligence Agency. Eddie Snowden is a spook. And again, someone who is genuinely concerned with the welfare of others doesn't advocate eliminating Social Security and returning to the gold standard and saying, well, high unemployment is a necessary part of capitalist correction. That is the Republican and German austerity doctrine that has been revealed as pure bunkum, and very cruel bunkum at that, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Paul Krugman of the New York Times. And again, I have many posts about these connections in the long series of articles I have done about Snowden's ride in the news and supplemental category on the front page of the Spitfire website. Julian Assange of WikiLeaks, by the way, has also come out saying Rand Paul and Ron Paul are the only hope, political hope, for America, and that Americans should support the libertarian branch of the Republican Party and Rand and Ron Paul. I would also note that Julian Assange himself has some remarkable social Darwinist viewpoints. I've talked about those in For the Record 732 and 745, Wiki Fascism, Parts 1 and 2. Assange, by the way, WikiLeaks, although the vast majority of the people who support it are a sort of anarcho-utopian, libertarian, or political orientation, WikiLeaks held forth on the PRQ servers of Pirate Bay. Those were financed by Carl Lundstrom, a prominent, very wealthy Swedish fascist who was the bankroller of Pirate Bay, a downloading website. Carl Lundstrom, by the way, talking about David Duke as a trace element. Carl Lundstrom arranged a Scandinavian speaking tour for David Duke. The arrival of WikiLeaks at the Pirate Bay PRQ servers, financed by Carl Lundstrom, was arranged by a guy named Joran Jermas, a.k.a. Israel Shamir, who was a very, very close associate of Julian Assange. He also is a prominent Holocaust denier who has said that, quote, it is the duty of all good Christians and Muslims to deny the Holocaust. And when Expo magazine, founded by the late Stieg Larsson, got a hold of some of the emails of WikiLeaks. It was revealed that it was Joran Jermas, a very close associate of Julian Assange and a Holocaust denier, who arranged for WikiLeaks to land, so to speak, at the PRQ servers of Carl Lundström, a prominent Swedish fascist. By the way, Israel Shamir, a.k.a. Joran Jermas, and his son Johannes Wallström have been handling WikiLeaks operations for Scandinavia and Russia, and Joran Jermas is part of a Russian fascist milieu, part of what that has intersected with, networked with, again, the aforementioned David Duke. Now, Glenn Greenwald's leaking journalist of choice, so to speak, is Glenn Greenwald of The Guardian. Greenwald, again, is not as advertised, NAA. Before he became a journalist, Glenn Greenwald was a lawyer. By the way, he practiced corporate law in New York City and was originally quite taken with George Bush, then gradually became, quote, disillusioned with George Bush because of his, quote, violation of civil liberties, privacy, etc. But when Glenn Greenwald was an attorney, he spent years representing the most heinous Nazi and white supremacist organizations against civil suits that had been filed against them, much of that pro bono. Specifically, he represented Matthew Hale, the founder of the World Church of the Creator, now, by the way, doing 40 years in prison for having plotted against the life of a judge. Hale was being sued by the families, by the victims and families of people who had been shot by one of Hale's Nazi foot soldiers, and a public interest law firm helped them to sue the World Church of the Creator. Glenn Greenwald represented Matthew Hale and the World Church of the Creator pro bono for many years. He also said he represented them pro bono because of the heinous nature of the people who were filing the lawsuit. The rationalization was that Matthew Hale and the World Church of the Creator were just exercising their rights to free speech, and that they couldn't be held accountable for the fact that the people who were hearing that free speech went out and shot a bunch of people, some of them fatally. Also interesting in that regard is that Glenn Greenwald had surreptitiously taped some of the witnesses whom he had interviewed, indicating that Greenwald's distaste for the illicit handling of private communications is highly selective. Even more disgustingly and revealingly, Glenn Greenwald later represented a coalition of Nazi and white supremacist groups, including the National Alliance. The National Alliance is the publisher of Serpent's Walk, the publisher of the Turner Diaries, and specifically, they have published their books as teaching tools for their foot soldiers. One of the books they published was a book called Hunter, which specifically was intended, according to William Luther Pierce, head of the National Alliance, as a teaching tool for people who wanted to commit racist assassinations. And Glenn Greenwald represented them, too, for a long time. A bunch of Latinos, Latino day laborers, actually a couple of Latino day laborers, were set upon by some Nazis and white supremacists and critically injured. And Glenn Greenwald defended the coalition of Nazi and white supremacist groups against charges that they were somehow responsible for this. And again, the National Alliance, Greenwald's client, intends its publications as teaching tools. This just about wraps things up. I realize that I have downloaded an awful lot of information. This is just a simple overview. We will be going into these at greater length when I can have a surrogate reader, because reading is pretty tough for me still. Suffice it to say, you want to get a jump on this, go to the SpitfireList.com website, bring up the news and supplemental category, and I have the equivalent of a small book already up there, and you can read the documentation for all of the things that I've spoken about. If this seems crazy, please understand that the documentation is there. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record Program number 753, Overview on Snowden's Ride, the operations of Eddie the Friendly Spook. This is being recorded on August 18th of the year 2013. My name is Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.